to be our happy ever after.
It will be. I just need to postpone it.
From the imagination of Neil Gaiman, a new fairy tale for the festive season.
Oh, haven't you ever woken a sleeping princess before?
No. Have you?
No.
An all-star cast with Gwendolyn Christie, Ralph Ineson, and Penelope Wilton.
I could sleep for 100 years.
Neil Gaiman's The Sleeper and the Spindle. This Boxing Day at 3 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, a festive episode of Ed Reardon's Week, in which our favourite author, pipe smoker and inveterate fare dodger finds himself once more in search of lodgings. Will there be an upstairs room at the inn?
Ed Reardon's 2020 Christmas Week. Written by Christopher Douglas and Andrew Nichols. Upstairs room at the inn.
Screech was Jacob Marley's sole executor.
Executor.
Sole administrator. His sole assign.
Assign.
His sole residuary legatee.
Residuary legatee. And it's Scrooge, not Screech. They may as well have got a sat-nav to read this out.
Shall I put you down?
How far have I pedalled since you last got a word right? In miles, please.
Clearly.
888,000.88. Oh, that's not right either.
Good day to E, said Screech.
Oh, really?
I am much obliged to E.
How much are you being paid to read this free audio book?
Oh, envelope to Poston.
See if I can find a prom from the 70s with Adrian Bolt. Someone who knows what they're doing.
Monday, or Tuesday, one loses track. It's Christmas, anyway. The phrase, he had a good war, was often applied to opportunistic figures of my youth. The script editor of Bill and Ben the Flowerpot Men comes to mind, absolute charlatan. And lazier still, the TV executive in a regimental blazer who commissioned The Ascent of the Old Man of Hoy over an interminable weekend in 1967. And so the pandemic has proved a good war for Ed Reardon. The discovery of an exercise bike dumped in the canal has improved my fitness, healthy heart rate and lungs strengthened by shouting at downloaded audiobooks. In short, I find myself fulfilling the hopes of younger correspondents in my agent's office that I am really, really well, or even super well, and having a lovely time. Indeed, I've fallen consistently on my feet right from the start of lockdown, as we're obliged to call it, without the definite article.
This is your room, sir.
Oh, a minibar. And a sophisticated Jack Vetriano hanging above it. Do pass on our gratitude to whichever Premiership footballer is our generous host. The initiative to house 15,000 homeless people in the philanthropic springtime of the virus couldn't have come at a more appropriate time for Elgar and myself, between addresses as we were. Unfortunately, the inevitable restrictions of hotel life did not suit everyone. Oh, for heaven's sake, I'm only smoking in the corridor to escape that eyesore of a poster above my minibar.
Calm down, please, sir.
Which, when forced open, was found to contain nothing but isotonic fruit juice. Hence my need for a bottle of scotch.
Which you haven't paid for, have you?
I was socially distancing myself from the bar staff because of my underlying health issues.
Oh.
Ah, hello, Pink. Better?
I can still see crumbs in your beard.
Ah, the remnants of my very last hotel breakfast. Gone?
Nice view. Where are you?
On the canal towpath, just down from Berkhamsted School. Wi-Fi signal's very strong. World-beating, according to the prospectus. Are you in bed?
I'm at the office.
There seem to be a lot of cuddly toys on the shelf behind you.
Oh, that's just a background picture for when I'm zooming. They're Pixar characters and Game of Thrones merch. I've got bookshelves on the wall, really. But as a literary agent, I've got to look profesh, don't I?
Well, it's certainly effective. Ping, unless we're in different time zones, you're calling in the sacrosanct three-hour window that's normally your lunch break.
Oh, there's no one to go out with. I've had to furlough Minty and Javrone. Look at this. Tinned mushroom soup from the back of the cupboard.
Mmm.
Hardly worth paying 180 quid for the smart mug.
Indeed not. But I noticed through your intermittent background that...
Oh, God, can you see books?
No, it's all right. But what I do see is a completely empty side office.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, Rishi pays 80% of their wages, so I only have to cough up the other 20, which is nothing, because because I'm paying them peanuts anyway. Plus, I'm saving on the presents I normally have to buy to say sorry for not giving them the minimum wage in the first place. So Rishi's got me out of jail big time.
Amazing how quickly the Chancellor became Rishi, as though he were everyone's family friend.
Yeah, he is actually. He lives opposite my mum in Kensington, and the next valley in Umbria, and the next but one beach hut at Walberswick.
Walberswick might be a bit tricky for me to get to, but that sofa under the window in your office, does it fold out at all?
Sipping's wadded, basically, and I'm only going to get wadded-er because no wedding presents, yay! But what's the sitch after the wedding present holiday? I mean, what if no one spends any money at all, and then there'll be like a fish knife mountain at Peter Jones's? The economy's never going to recover. Ugh, sorry, Ed, I'm belligeranting.
I thought perhaps you were auditioning for a monologue in The Archers. Anyway, you were kind enough to call me.
Did I?
Yes, I was wondering...
Oh, that's because I have a duty of care to look after the mental health of all my clients. And it's so boring here.
Well, there's nothing wrong with my mental health that can't be cured by a comfortable sofa in your office, say?
No, you're not staying here.
Or a lockdown book commission about DIY or broccoli or wild swimming.
Too late. They're all being done by one guy. Cyril. He's like a million years old, but he can write about everything.
Not Cyril Enderby.
Mm-hmm. He always delivers.
Not to Bill and Ben the Flowerpot, many didn't. They got their carroty fingers very badly burnt.
Cyril's literally the only client with a gig. There's absolutely zero work, even for really important clients. I mean, the theatres are closed, studios are empty, even the crappy little pub spaces where they do open mic nights. I really fear for the future of stand-up comedy, Ed.
It's heartening that some good has come out of all this global tragedy. Sweet are the uses of adversity. So, if not the couch ping, then how about the floor of the hallway outside, with perhaps a rug?
Sorry, Ed, you froze, but I didn't get any of that. Oh, no, he's gone.
No, I haven't! Right, Elgar. I know you may have heard this several times before, but this really is the last chance saloon.
Sorry, mate. Can't serve drinks till five. Only allowed to work in 3 hours in the evening.
Actually, I was wondering if your upstairs room was available.
Ah. If you come and do an open mic night, sorry, we had to cancel for the lockdown.
No, I was thinking of a slightly longer residency.
What? Wednesday and Saturday? You're brave. No one's ever lasted that long. Not even 5 minutes, some of them. Oip, splash! Straight in the canal. Before they've even got to... Hey, who remembers Sherbet Fountains?
Yes, I've been present at a few of those Lockkeeper's Arms defenestrations. How would you feel about me staying in the room? I could pay rent.
Got your Rishi money then, have you?
Only a very small amount, I'm afraid.
Yeah, some people in your game didn't get any.
Well, luckily I had a good 2017, which counted in my favour. I don't know if you saw the anniversary Kenny Everett tribute.
Yeah, all that cash gone now, I expect, eh?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't do this normally, but I know stand-ups have been feeling a pinch. So, I won't charge you much.
Very kind of you.
Yeah, well, come on up.
It's all right, Elgar. There's no comedy actually in progress. It's shut.
You can't stay for long, but... Oh, well, watch out! Sorry. Banister's missing there. Place has been redeveloped for social housing.
That's ironic.
So, what kind of material do you do, eh?
Oh, you know, observational.
Oh, yeah? So what would you say your killer riff was? You know, what's your bank, eh?
routine about fish knives.
Yeah, that could work, I suppose, because they're funny shape, aren't they, eh?
Yes, they are, yes. Well, that's another minute and a half, thank you.
Hey, tell you what always goes well, supermarkets. I can hear them laughing through the floorboard some nights, and mobility scooters, yeah. Hey, put them together, you'll be doing Mock the Week. Be on telly more than Dave Mitchell.
The novelist?
Hey.
I realised I would have to watch my step, lest I reveal myself to be a detested metropolitan book-loving elitist. But it was a small price to pay for comfortable diggings. The furnishings boasted, as the estate agents say, an abundance of stacking chairs, sufficient blackout curtains to fashion into a serviceable mattress. Catching the drips from a leaky roof was a bucket which had previously seen service collecting funds to, quote, send Tony Blair to jail, crossed out and replaced by support Jeremy Corbyn, and finally send Jeremy Corbyn to jail. And the cupboard with a broken padlock was very far from bare. Oh, good news, Elgar. Mouse droppings. Ah, we know what that means. Yes, your very own click-and-collect supper. What's this? Take two steps forward, yeah, nice one. Then two steps backwards. Yeah, all right. Whoa, everybody good? Oh, it's a script. Yeah, excellent. Anyone here from Tring? Boo. Brackets, if nothing, try Hatfield. Post Galleria Shopping Mall Belters. Store guide in HYEN file. HYEN. Oh, have you ever noticed? Greg's front window. Vegan sausage rolls, right? What's that all about?
Oh, sorry, were you rehearsing for when the lockdown's over?
Yes, just letting rip with a few have you ever noticed belters.
All right, go on then. Let's have one.
Oh, you'll have to wait and see. Oh. You'll need the floorboards reinforcing some of the things I've noticed.
Oh, can't wait. Oh, you might be needing this.
Oh, a toilet seat, how thoughtful.
Yeah, fray paper's in short supply right now, so...
Oh, this'll do. Necessity is, after all, the mother of invention.
Oh, and as soon as you can let me have some rent, we'll see about getting you the Wi-Fi code, all right?
Right.
Like many other writers and artists who never had any choice but to live hand to mouth, I was relatively unaffected by the temporary closure of the TV company's commissioning departments, having been unbothered by them for getting on for 40 years. However, the more celebrated and hitherto well-heeled of my former colleagues appear to be thrown into panic by lockdown, despite the lucrative repeat fees from reruns of series about spooks, forensic scientists, and homicidal brummies in lethal headgear. Somewhat to my surprise and huge enjoyment, the panicker-in-chief turned out to be Jas Milvane, self-styled best director of his generation. It was a sign of just how dire things had got for him that he called, offering a meet, as he termed it, at my convenience.
What are you doing, Reardon? Looking for tips on how to write successfully?
No, just removing a few David Walliams books from the staff recommends table and taking them out of service.
How are you doing that?
Well, once they've been touched, you see, they have to be taken down to the shop's basement for decontamination.
Serves him right.
Of course, he'll probably have written a couple more by the time they come back up again.
Would you believe he hasn't asked me to adapt any of them for Amazon Prime? Not one. Ooh, here come our coffees. Let's sit down.
You bought me a coffee, Jazz?
Why not? You're my oldest friend.
Two lattes, guys?
Thank you, Eleanor. Yours is a small one.
All done with these books?
Yes, you can put them with the Hanif Qureshis. Also well thumbed.
God, you're pitiful.
You're the one who's got a train to Berkhamsted. Before your senior rail card's valid, if I'm not mistaken.
Train was completely empty. Nobody doing the Universal Studios tour. Tragic. No one got off, no one got on.
Yes, I remember Adelstrop.
No, Watford Junction. Do you know, this is the most severe crisis I've known in my entire life helming motion pictures and box sets.
Don't forget the commercials for decking stain and sealant.
Nominated for 2 amateur gardening awards, I might remind you.
Oh, pity they weren't able to hold the ceremony.
I haven't been able to wear my red suit once this year.
I'm having rather a good apocalypse as it happens. Just moved into a new place. Found a leather poof in the street when I was walking home last night.
I've decided to undertake a rather more interesting journey to reboot the story of Jas Milvane, putting something back rather than scrounging. I'm returning to the most ancient of all art forms.
Cave painting.
Zoom panto. It's the greatest form of popular entertainment in the world. It goes right back to Commedia del Rumpelstiltskin, to the very dawn of time.
Some pantos do go on a bit, I agree.
And you're going to write the script.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Why do you say it in that voice?
Just how familiar are you with Rumpelstiltskin's ancient Zoom art?
Well, I do know this. In the current situation, you can get any actors you want. They can't film any documentaries about their ancestors or go into the jungle or the outback or host police dogs of courage at the Albert Hall. What else are they going to do?
No celebrity canal trips either.
Absolutely out of the question. But what they can do is sit on a sofa, look into a laptop and say family-friendly dialogue, semi-improvised with a bit of a twinkle in their eye.
Not forgetting to mention local restaurants or car hire firms.
Exactly. And that, me old China, is where you come in. I'm getting half a dozen emails a week from Mike Sheen and Dave Tennant. They're desperate to play the ugly sisters. Dame Judy has just turned 2 of her old Queen Victoria costumes into a soundproof home studio.
Dame Judy? Has she now?
Can I tell her you're on board?
Now, hang on a minute, Jazz. Would I get paid for this?
A very substantial amount of money indeed. Just as soon as we've sold a panto by Jas Milvane to Netflix. So, when can you have a draft ready?
Away from the keyboard, please, Elgar. Daddy's got to work. pause off the spacebar and you find yourself on Twitter. We don't want anyone to find us at all, do we? No, the poof is for Daddy's feet. You can sit here on this old poster. Horatio P. Goebbels, direct from the Edinburgh Festival. I imagine his mother, Mrs. Goebbels, had to drive him here. There you are. No? Oh, well, it's up to you. Right. Fairy godmother. Boys and girls, be gone all gloom. I'm sitting here upon my Zoom. Does that sound right for Dame Judy? I think so. It's not as if she's got any other work. Reardon's back in the saddle.
Pleased to hear it, Dad.
Jake! How did you find me? I mean, lovely to see you, obviously.
Parental tracking app.
Isn't that meant to be used the other way round?
I set it up last time I showed you how to turn your phone on. In case of emergencies, like when you got chucked out of the hotel and I had to go and collect your sandals.
And is this another emergency?
Absolutely it is. It's Mum.
Oh no, what?
She's decided to move out of London.
As much to recommend it. It certainly worked for me, as you can see. And for Elgar. Well done. Third one of the day and it's not even happy hour.
It's serious, Dad. She's got in with a crowd of weirdos. They're, I don't know, like a cult.
What do they do?
They say it's watercolour appreciation, but they're just after Mum's money.
I wouldn't have thought Janet was that well off. She's got the flat, but...
Exactly. I don't know if you've noticed, but property in London is a lot more expensive than it is in the Cairngorms. Do the math. I mean, hello?
I'm never sure when people say that if I'm supposed to say hello back.
So you've got to talk her out of it. I need a London base with a spare room, somewhere I can make my podcasts.
Ah, podcasts. The blacksmith's forged an osier with a somewhat less useful outcome.
Let it go, Dad. You've lost that battle. What are you doing that's so useful?
I'm writing what my director calls a potentially world-beating pantomime.
Competition's not that strong, is it? I mean, there's nowhere else in the world that does panto, let alone understands it. I mean, I'm not sure I do. It goes on for like 5 hours and a weird bloke in drag throws sweets at you with God knows what ulterior motive.
Well, we'll have to agree to draw from separate wells for our creative inspiration.
It's not a bad acoustic in here. Hello, my name is... Hello. Hello. Hello, my name's Jake Reardon. This week's episode...
No, I'm sorry, Jake. I'm afraid you've lost this particular battle.
Oh, my God. Horatio P. Goebbels.
You've heard of him?
Have I heard of him? He was the Führer of fun, when you could still say that. I saw his final gig.
Did his mother make him get a proper job at Santander?
No. She reversed into him when he was loading his accordion into the boot. Tragic. Frankie Boyle leads a pilgrimage to the loading bay behind the drill hall every year. Get off, Elgar! His poster's worth money.
Oh, you want to sleep on it now he's famous?
Dad, it'd be an honour for me to make my shows here. And maybe stay over when I need to.
I'm sorry, Jake, but I gather the building's about to be pulled down.
Oh, right. Well, in that case, you're just going to have to go round to Mum's and talk her out of moving. Take a tube or two of burnt umber. She might even have you back.
Fairy godmother, our story told, our heroes wed. It's time to put the Zoom to bed. From fairyland comes Christmas greeting... The fleeting, tweeting. No, definitely not that. Claremont plastic sheeting. Ah, no, we closed the first half with that.
Would-be writers often complain about the stomach-churning dread of the blank page as they embark upon a project. But as a seasoned professional, I find that endings can be rather more challenging, presenting a yawning chasm between the penultimate line and the 7 reassuring keystrokes that spell out the end.
Christmas greeting. Your fairy host has ended the meeting. Doesn't quite scan, but Judy can fudge it. She took the curse off sending the clowns. Press send.
I may not always have seen eye to eye with Jazz Milvain, but he respects my ability to turn round a script and deliver it on time without suffering a nervous breakdown, like some of my younger colleagues who go boasting to the Radio Times that they've had to do 219 drafts on a veranda overlooking Lake Como.
And I'd lose Baron Hardock's speech about his BBC fee being lower than it was 10 years ago.
Oh, pity. I thought Rafe Fiennes could have made that rather affecting. Anything else?
You'll have to get rid of pages 45 to 61, obviously.
But that's the transformation scene where the mice turn into ponies.
triggering protests in every student hall of residence in the country. Do you want to crash the internet?
Oh, that's ridiculous. Have you any idea how many drafts I've done of this?
Well, do what you like. It won't be up to me because, as it happens, I've been asked to do a job of national importance.
Helming Captain Tom's new pop video.
No, Freya's got that. Fair enough, he's about the same age. No, I shall be steering government policy on the future of the arts. Make sure the money falls into the right hands if we're to preserve our rich cultural heritage, starting with the London Palladium and the O2 Arena. Ooh, that's the limo. With you in half a tick, Minister!
Yes. What am I going to do?
Oh, break a leg. And try to keep 2 metres away from the sweets, Ridden.
Yeah? I ordered a pint of bitter about half an hour ago.
Oh, yeah. Working on a new routine, were you?
Yes. Have you ever noticed how long it takes to get served round here?
You're not a stand-up comic, are you?
In fairness, I never said that I was. I let you think I was because I was thirsty. I still am.
All coming out now. Your son told me when he came looking for you. Plus, I saw your name on TV.
What? When? Was it in colour?
Yeah, it was an episode of Tenko on Talking Pictures. So, if you're a TV writer, you can pay TV writers rent. A month in advance, please.
I thought the Lockkeeper's Arms was about to be demolished.
Uh-uh. Not since this came.
Notice of application to preserve site of cultural importance. Is that the 10-year accumulation of nitrous oxide capsules on the towpath outside?
Debut Berkhamsted performance of Horatio P. Goebbels. Right, pain as I remember. His mother was nice, though.
Thank you very much, Jake.
What?
Nothing.
850 a month, okay?
In keeping with the way conditions of the 19th century returned over the course of the summer, widespread fear of disease and destitution, classes divided into those with long gardens and a Waitrose card and those without access to so much as a pair of hairdressing scissors, Elgar and I prepared to do a traditional Victorian flit, while the landlord of the Lockkeeper's Arms took his Staffordshire Bull Terrier out for its morning walk, or to be more accurate, its completely out-of-character attack on innocent townsfolk. Oh, come on, Elgar. Not as if you've never been in a basket before. If you're not careful, I'll take the leather poof instead. More practical and, quite frankly, better company. No, I didn't mean it, of course. Not another local busybody wondering if I need anything. Yes, 850 quid. Oh! Even more out of character than the landlord's dog's behaviour, a call from my agent with some rather good news to ameliorate the Zoom Panto setback.
Guess what, Ed? Cyril's had a heart attack.
Not Cyril Enderby, who always delivers.
Yeah, he finished the first 3 books about how to slow down and improve your lifestyle under lockdown, but the 4th one did for him.
Oh, dear.
It worse than oh, dear. It means 35,000 words of sourdough diaries have got to be written, illustrated, and recommended by Stephen Fry in time for Super Thursday.
When is that now? I assume it's been moved.
Yeah, 2 weeks before Black Friday.
I do wish they wouldn't change things. The rot set in when the Derby was moved from Wednesday to Saturday. Dread to think what's happened to Advent.
It's 3.5 grand if you can deliver by the end of next week.
What about 1,000 up front?
All right, but you've got to buy your own flour.
Jake says he's on his way, so I think we should just go ahead and order, Ellie.
Oh, just so you know, Dad, before we start, you're not paying for all this.
Oh, that's very good of you. I'll have a glass of champagne. Do you think Dick Turpin's pizzeria runs to that?
Well, the discount doesn't include drink.
Oh, right. Are there any other restrictions?
Yes. You've got to spend at least £20 to get the 50% off.
I take it you're not using the second person when you say you, but the first person meaning Jake and I.
No, you're taking us for lunch, and we're treating you to 50% off the bill because we don't often go out as a family.
Indeed not, no. So where's my grandson?
Smiles at Mum's. But maybe for the last time. Because what am I going to do for childcare after she's moved to Scotland?
I did try to intercede and talk her out of it after Jake told me.
What's Jake got to do with anything?
Well, he doesn't want Janet to move either, obviously.
What do you mean, obviously?
Well, he doesn't want her to move to Scotland either because he makes his podcasts at hers, if that's what they are.
What?
Hi, Dad.
Here comes the lying scrounger, crawling out from under his stone.
Well, it's kicked off already, then. Put your mask on if you're going to use that kind of language.
Now stop it. It's a family treat. Exactly whose is yet to be decided, but let's not destroy it before we've even had a soft drink.
Trying to get Dad to do your dirty work and stop Mum following her dream.
I tell you what is her dream, not having to look after her criminal, arsonist grandson.
The sentence was suspended for 6 months.
All this is immaterial. I did mention the move and its disadvantages to Janet, but her heart is set, it seems, on the world of Scottish watercolours.
The way I heard it, you begged her to take you back.
You cried through the letterbox. Promised you'd give up smoking and criticising newsreaders' pronunciation.
Pronunciation? I'm really getting quite peckish.
Said you'd been chucked out of a squat above a condemned pub and had nowhere else to go.
Not condemned anymore. Berkhamsted Journal. It's official. The lockkeeper's arms is saved. Hooray for Horatio.
Yeah, I did know about the preservation order already, actually. The landlord told me when I said I wanted to stay on.
Did that involve kneeling down and bursting into tears again?
No, I paid him rent in advance.
What?
I've got a commission. So one way and another, I'm unable to offer you podcasting space, Jake, or to take Smile off your hands, Ellie.
Just as well. He'd only have tried to burn the place down.
Shut up. Look, Dad, I could do your horoscopes in return for 15 hours childcare a week. What's your birth sign again?
Shouldn't you know that?
Yes, remind me, Jake, what is it? It's all right, you don't have to consult your charts, Ellie. I can safely predict in the immediate future you will both be forced back onto your inner resources.
Cheers, Dad. So now it's there for all time for everyone to see. You hate your daughter.
Not at all. Nevertheless, this host has ended the meeting.
What about Eat Out to Help Out?
You'll have to depend on the good offices of everyone's new best friend, Richie.
You're so completely selfish, Dad.
Screech was better than his word. He did it all, and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tam, who did not die, he was a second father.
Did not die? It's capitalised in the text.
In Screech's case, it was the vision of a grisly future that prompted a more charitable outlook. In the case of the pseudonymous author of the Sourdough Diaries, it was the commissioning of Sourdough Diaries the Second Batch after the runaway success of the first volume that softened my own heart.
I'll raise your salary, Bob, and endeavour to assist your struggling family. We will discuss it over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop.
I heard her tummy rumble there. Did you notice that, Elgar?
The realisation that the poor girl mangling the text was probably sitting in a damp basement for days on end on £2.50 an hour, while Elgar and I enjoyed all Christmas creature comforts, caused me to reflect on the twists and turns, the feast and famine of freelance life.
And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. May that be truly said of us, and all of us.
This bottle holder is a very useful fitness accessory. You know what, Elgar? We're so lucky living where we do. Upstairs at the Lockkeeper's Arms for the foreseeable future.
And so, as Tiny Tam observed, God bless us everyone.
God bless us everyone! That was a very loud rumble. She must be really hungry. What on earth's going on?
I'd get out of there if I were you. Happy Christmas.
Ed Reardon's 2020 Christmas Week. Written by Christopher Douglas and Andrew Nichols. Starring Christopher Douglas as Edge, with Barunka O'Shaughnessy, Philip Jackson, Colin McFarlane, Lisa Coleman, Sam Pamphilon,